to you in the Bible study.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the telecast this week. As always, it's a joy and a delight to be with you. This week, I felt led of the Lord that we should study somewhat of an ancillary subject as it pertains to the message of the cross, as it regards the message of the cross. And let me say this, the message of the cross is the foundation of the entirety of the Word of God. There are other subjects to preach, and we've talked on this program and in other venues. We have dealt with countless Bible subjects of extreme importance. We've dealt with the rapture of the church. We've dealt with Bible prophecy. We have dealt with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We have dealt with divine healing. We've dealt with prosperity. We have preached on dealing with loneliness, dealing with tragedy, and many, many, many Bible topics of vital importance to you and I today. But all of it, all of the Word of God, rests upon the foundation of the work that Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary's cross. You could say it this way, the message of the Word of God, the message of the Bible, is the cross of Christ. And as a Christian, as a believer, the cross of Christ is ever to be the object of our faith. And I know in today's church climate, in the church world of today, there's a lot of faith that's being talked about. The word is constantly bandied about in church circles these days. And very precious little of it is Bible faith. I mean, today you hear about faith in faith, or faith in words, or faith in this, faith in that. Some people has faith in the denomination. Some people has faith in their particular favorite guru. But precious little Bible faith is really being preached these days. Because Bible faith, true faith, real faith, I mean that which is the really real about faith, is found only at the cross. And the message that the church must return to, must get back to in this hour, is the cross of Christ and the work that Jesus there did. Amen. So today, and it might take us a couple of weeks to get through this, but today I want to talk about the cross and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The power of the Holy Spirit is defined by the work of Calvary. Now let me say that again. The power of the Holy Spirit. Every believer needs power. Power to live a godly life. Power to do the right thing. Power to make proper choices. You know, the list is endless. We have a litany of problems in our lives. We are human. We are fallen. We are flesh. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And there is one Bible way. Not two, not five, not ten. One Bible way, beloved, that will guarantee you the help of the Holy Spirit in every situation of your life that you face. And that's what we want to look at today. The cross and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray first, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us with the people. And Lord, I pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon us today. Pour out an anointing upon us as we study your word together this evening, Lord. Reveal yourself big to us. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody would say, amen and amen. And I think the reason, simply for me anyway, that this message came about was, as Christians and as people that love the Lord and are serious-minded about serving God and following Christ, it seems that at times we get it in our mind, well, now I am saved, I am in Christ, I am baptized with the Holy Ghost, I have the power of God according to the Scripture, and so now I can have victory over sin. And then we find, just a few moments later, or a day, or a week, or whenever it is, we find ourselves in a position where we fail again. And we don't understand why the failure comes in our lives. Why did we mess up again? Why did we commit the same sin that we've been repenting about for years again? And so we have this mindset, we have these thoughts in us that are wrong. Now, and the reason it's so subtle is because it doesn't sound wrong. Well, I'm born again. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. So I should be able to have victory over temptation. I should be able to have victory over sin. Well, not necessarily. Because what the Scripture teaches us is that the object of our faith must be right. And now listen to me, beloved. Just the fact of you being in Christ does not automatically guarantee you victory over the sin nature. Someday, not too very long in the future, we're going to do a teaching series on this television broadcast on the sin nature. When you understand that the sin nature is tremendously powerful, and you are no match for that sin nature in your own strength or in your own self-efforts, just the very fact of you being in Christ does not guarantee that you're going to have victory in your life. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 real quickly. And I didn't really have this planned, but let's go there, and I want to show you something. Romans 8 and 1, the Scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In other words, you can be in Christ Jesus and still walking after the flesh. Let's say that again. All believers, people that are truly saved, truly born again, all believers are in Christ Jesus, but it is possible for you as a believer to be in Christ Jesus and still walking after the flesh. And walking after the flesh here refers to you depending on your own personal strength, your own personal ability to combat and have victory over the sin nature. Actually, what happens to you when you try to fight sin, do you realize that as believers we are not told to fight sin? We are told that sin, the sin nature, was defeated at Calvary's cross by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Praise God forever. We're not called to fight sin. We're not called to fight the devil. Oh, we're not? No. We are told in the Scripture to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? That means it is a warfare that comes in the believer's heart and life for him or her to keep their faith properly placed in the cross of Christ. Because the flesh competes for our faith focus. Now let me say that again. And it's many things really out there that competes for the faith focus of the believer. And the sad fact of it is today, my brothers and sisters, is that many preachers are competing with the cross for your faith focus. And they're telling you things about faith, especially in the Word of Faith movement today, which is really not Bible faith at all. At all. They're teaching you things to place your faith in that will not bring you into victory and will cause you untold heartaches and problems and difficulties in your life if you follow that particular brand of faith. We're not talking, we're not talking here about human faith either. True Bible faith has as its object the cross of Christ and what Jesus finished, the work that he finished there. Let me tell you today, Satan is a defeated foe. Sin is defeated. Satan is defeated. Every devil in hell is defeated. Glory be to God. Demons are defeated. Jesus Christ, praise God, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary, defeated every power of hell and Satan and sin and the devil and wickedness. The Bible tells the believer they are to be under your feet. Well, how in the world can that take place in my life? You might ask. I have asked. I read in the scripture what it says. I'm supposed to be walking in victory. I'm supposed to be walking in freedom over sin. I'm supposed to be, Romans 6:14. Let's read that. It says, in Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law. You are under grace. But yet why is that not my situation? Why am not I having victory? Why am not I walking in the peace of God and the freedom of the Holy Spirit?" And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10, if not more, believers have found themselves in that position in their life at one time or another. And the answer to it, beloved, is because we did not understand the object of our faith. We did not understand how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit does not work in the life of a Christian because the Christian goes to the first Zama Zama church on the corner. The Holy Spirit does not operate in the heart and life of a Christian because the Christian is big, this or that or the other, or has a Doctor of Divinity degree. The Holy Spirit operates in your heart and in mine, every believer. The Holy Spirit operates exclusively within the parameters of the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And when the believer has his or her faith placed in what Jesus did at Calvary, that guarantees the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come on the scene. The Holy Spirit is one that the Bible, the Greek word used is parakletos. He is one that is called alongside to help you and I. The Holy Spirit is a helper. He is a comforter. He is a strengthener. He is an equipper. Praise God. So when our faith is properly placed in what Jesus did at Calvary, Lord, I can have victory over sin because of what you did. I can walk free in my life because of what you did. I can face temptation and have victory because of what you did. When our faith is placed in the cross, in the blood, praise God, of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished, when our faith is anchored on the solid foundation of Calvary, on the fact that he disarmed Satan, he disarmed principalities and powers, he defeated devils, he defeated the sin nature. Hallelujah. And when we follow God's prescribed order of victory, it guarantees us the help of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes along. He comes on the scene. He helps us. He strengthens us. He takes hold together with us against whatever it is that we're facing. And he leads us into victory. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will never lead a believer into defeat. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead the believer into the will of God for that believer. Praise God. This is how the Holy Spirit operates. This is how the Holy Spirit works. Sin shall not have dominion over the child of God. Yeah, but Brother Paxton, sin is having dominion over me. It's because you don't understand the power of the cross of Calvary. And praise God, that's why these programs and many others that are out there today. Praise God, the church is, in some fashions, starting to wake up and come back to the Bible. Amen? But that's the reason for these programs. Now, as we close this program today for the remainder of our time, let me make a few remarks that will actually lead us into next week's telecast as we talk about the cross and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Please tell someone about this program. I'll be frank with you, I'm not much. And that should be obvious for all to see. I like the little thing we put on the beginning of the program these days that talks about, God forbid that I should glory in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to tune into these telecasts because the message that we preach will set you free. I don't back up from saying it. It's not Len Paxton. It's not Angie Paxton. It's not Acts 26:18 ministry. It's none of that. The message that we preach, the message of Christ and Him crucified, the same message that the great Apostle Paul was given by God Himself, this message will set you free. It'll break the bondage in your life. It'll break the chains of alcohol and drugs in your life. It'll break those inordinate desires for perverted sex in your life. It'll set you free by the mighty power of God. Any habit that you might have, any sin that might be strangling the life out of you, the cross of Christ sets you free in Jesus' name. And that's why. So please tell others about the program. Tune in each and every week and receive this ministry from the Word of God. Amen. Now let me make a few preliminary remarks this week, and next week we're going to pick it right up again here and continue this. Every single thing done on this earth by the Godhead, with one exception, has always been carried out by the person, the office, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work began with the renovation of the earth. Okay? The scripture says in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit signals the beginning of life. And without the Holy Spirit's moving and operation, there is no life. I mean, you know when I first started living was not when I was biologically born. As glad I am that that happened. I mean, I love life. Amen. I love life. I love being alive, and I love waking up every morning and ministering the Word of God and enjoying the day that God gives me. Amen. But the beginning of life was when I was born again. Praise God. When the Holy Spirit began to move in my heart and life. Glory be to God. And that's the same thing that will regenerate you today. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's mighty power. The one thing that the Holy Spirit did not carry out on this earth as it pertains to the Godhead was the price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Even then, though, the Holy Spirit functioned in every capacity of the Master's life and ministry. I want you to understand that. Jesus did what He did by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was very God and very man at the same time, and He functioned in ministry as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38 tells us. Jesus' conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary was by the decree of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18. When Jesus began His earthly ministry, beloved, it was the Spirit of God who energized and anointed Him for His all-important work of redemption and daily ministry. Matthew 3:16. You can read all about it. After the ministry of Christ began, it was the Holy Spirit that drove Him, that led Him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Matthew 4:1. Not long after He began His ministry, Jesus stood in the synagogue of His hometown of Nazareth and said, and I want to read this to you, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Hallelujah. "Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." I want to stop right there a moment. You've got a lot of people today that's talking about deliverance, and rightfully so. We live in a society today, we live in a culture today that's bound, afflicted, oppressed, depressed, suppressed, problem after problem, Mankind needs deliverance. And we've all been there at one time or another. Jesus said, though, he didn't say anything about some of these fads that are going on in the church world today that promises you deliverance but cannot come through on its promise because it's not the Bible. But Jesus said, preach deliverance to the captives. You see, what we're doing right here today, this message and others like it, what we're doing right here today, this is deliverance ministry. Beloved, this is deliverance ministry. We're preaching deliverance to those who are captive and bound in this hour, that you can go free by the mighty power of God, and you have to come to the cross of Christ to get it. Praise God. This is preaching deliverance. This is what Jesus did. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and that is both physical and spiritual blindness, to set at liberty, hallelujah, them who are bruised. Some of you that are watching me right now, some of you that are listening at this poor preacher, you've been bruised by life, bruised and bruised and bruised. And it's been one failure and one disappointment and one letdown after another. But God tells you today, that if you will receive what Christ did for you at Calvary, He will set you at liberty. He will heal your broken heart, and He will deliver you. He's already made provision for that 2,000 years ago when Jesus bled and died on the cross for you. Amen. Why don't you receive that today? Why don't you begin today to look to Christ for your help, to come to Christ, to receive what He did for you into your heart and life? I guarantee you, you won't be sorry. If you come to God today through Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross, you will never be sorry, not a day in your life. You will have peace, some of you, for the first time. You will have joy, some of you, for the first time. You'll know contentment, some of you, for the first time, if you'll come to Christ today. If you'll confess your sins and turn from them, and turn to Him and love Him, He'll love you and He'll save you today. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, it was the Holy Spirit who told Jesus the very moment that He could die. I want to say that again. When I first studied this, that was very interesting to me. How that when Jesus died on the cross, it was the Holy Spirit who told Him the very moment when it was time for Him to die. Think of that and read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And as well, it was the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, Romans 8:11. Hallelujah. Let's just go there for just a quick second and read Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And that's how we will close out this week's telecast. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this is good stuff. This message changed my life. Praise God. This message set me free. Hallelujah. But if the Spirit, Holy Spirit, of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, amen. He who raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And that word quicken means to make alive. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, if you're born again, amen. If you properly place your faith in what Christ did for you at the cross, amen, then the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will dwell in you and will make you alive. He'll make you alive spiritually. He'll make you alive physically. This is how healings take place. Hallelujah. It comes Somebody asked, it's a tired old question really, but people always are asking, you know, is healing in the atonement? Why, certainly healing's in the atonement. This is how healings happen right here. This is how you got born again. This is how you get full of the Holy Spirit. This is how you walk in peace. This is how you walk in joy. This is how you're healed. This is how you're blessed. This is how you're prospered. Everything that we have need of was in the atonement. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works when the believer has his or her faith properly placed in what Jesus did at Calvary. Amen. Well, we're out of time for today. Praise God. We're going to pick it up right back here next week again as we talk about the cross and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you. So thank you for being with us this week. And let me encourage you again. Please tell others about this program. We take the time to sit down and do this for this little local access television station. We have a very busy schedule. And we're ministering constantly all across the nation. But we take the time to do this because we care about what you hear. And we care about your soul. And we care about you as a believer walking in victory over sin. Amen. That's the main thing. Amen. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's our message. And that ever shall be our message. So until next week, when you and I can come together and study the Word of the Lord together again, this is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you. Thank you.